But I believe I'm going to be sharing one of the most significant truths in eternity tonight that has the power to change our lives and transform our lives. How many are familiar with the scripture in 1 Corinthians 12:31, where it talks about earnestly desiring the gifts of the Holy Spirit? How many are familiar with that scripture? I'm gonna start by reading this scripture tonight. 1 Corinthians 12:31, it says, earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest gifts and graces, the higher gifts and choicest graces. And yet, I will show you still a more excellent way, one that is better by far and the highest of them all. Now, when I think of these gifts of God, I mean, how many here tonight would love to have a gift bestowed upon you where every single person you walk by gets healed? How many would think that's an amazing gift to have? Where every crippled person jumps out of wheelchairs and gets healed as you walk by them? Or how many would love to have such a prophetic gift that God gives you the most intimate details of a person's life that reveals to them the reality that God knows them and is alive? How many would love to have a gift like that? I mean, I think of these gifts of the Holy Spirit that God gives to us and that we can all operate in. And I read this scripture and it says, go after them, desire them, cultivate them, be zealous for it. And then Paul goes on to say, but I'm going to show you still an even more excellent way. And I think a more excellent way, what else can be greater than seeing every paralyzed person walk and every person get a detailed prophetic word from God? Like, what could even be greater than these things? And he says, I'm going to show you an even more excellent way than this. Now, I remember a service I was in. And I remember the altar was full of people and we were praying for healing for people. And I look up and I see a lady sitting halfway back in one of the chairs in the sanctuary. And Holy Spirit says, go and pray for her. And I have a silent conversation with God. I say, God, if she wanted prayer, she would be up at the altar. I don't think she wants prayer. And God said, go pray for her. So I said, okay. So I walk back to her and I said, hi, can I pray for you? And she looks up at me and she says, no. I don't want you to pray for me. And I looked up at God and I said, God, I told you. Remember, I have the gift of discernment. I told you she did not want prayer. And God says, pray for her. So I look at her again and I say, can I pray for you? And again, she says, no, I don't even want to be here tonight. My husband made me come here tonight. And I look over at the husband and my heart had more compassion for him than for her. And she said, God doesn't love me. I mean, she was mad. She was angry. She started yelling at me. God doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't heal me. And she started telling me all of the sicknesses that she had. I did not know one person could have so much sickness. I mean, so many conditions. She kept going on and on and on and on. She successfully sucked every ounce of faith out of me. I'm just going to be totally honest with you tonight. By the time she was done, I had no more faith for her healing. I started to think, oh, you're right, lady. You are right. Oh, that's bad. Oh, yeah, that's bad. Oh, it's even worse. Oh, yeah, you're probably going to die. Oh, yeah, amen. And this is what I'm thinking as she's talking. And now I'm like, God, what do I do now? I got no faith for this. I got no faith to pray. And you said, go pray for her. And she doesn't even want me to pray for her. Now what do I do? And God says, pray for her. So I'm like, look, the only thing I can do is close my eyes at this point. I just closed my eyes. Because everything in front of me was just a faith killer. I mean, it just was not working for me. So I ask her one more time, can I pray for you? Fine. And she stands up, crosses her arms, says, pray for me. And just crosses her arms and looks at me. She won't even close her eyes. Nothing. Pray for me. So I close my eyes. And I'm like, okay, God, I don't know what to do now. So when I don't know what to pray, I just pray in the Holy Spirit. So I started praying in the Holy Spirit inside. I'm just praying in the Holy Spirit. And as I start to pray in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you the two things that happened to me. I go into a vision and I see a brick wall in front of me. And this brick wall is this woman's anger, depression, sickness, impossibility, hope deferred, just false belief systems, everything that was like a wall in front of her. And I see this brick wall. And then as I continue to pray in the spirit, I start to go up the wall. And in my vision, I see myself going up this wall. And as I look up, I could see the top of the wall. So I keep going higher, 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 higher until I come up to the top of the wall. The moment my eyes go over the wall, I see clearly in the spirit. Now, something else was happening to me, and I'll tell you in a second, as I was going up that wall. So now when I see over the wall, I hear the voice of God speak to me. And he says, she doesn't need healing. And I said, say what? It sure sounds like she needs healing, God. And he said, no, she doesn't need healing. She has a spirit of infirmity, cast it out. So I said, oh, because everyone and their mother had been praying healing, 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 healing. But what she needed was deliverance from a spiritual affliction causing the infirmity. So now I looked at her and I did not want to get all Pentecostal with this lady because I could tell she couldn't handle it, right? You know what I'm talking about? Like the old Pentecostal way of casting out a demon. It's like, devil, come out in Jesus' name, boom, and they just smack it. You know those old Pentecostal evangelists, they'll just lay hands on you and scream and spit and be like, devil, come out. You know, and then the person needs healing after they get prayed for. But I've been in those kind of meetings. I was in a tent meeting once where the evangelist did a flying leap over the pulpit and started body slamming people on the front row on the ground. And I was on the front row, and I was very quickly in the back row with a whole barricade of chairs around me. And I said to myself, if you body slam me, I'm going to punch you out. And because look, if Holy Ghost is going to put me on the ground, you don't need to throw me down. Praise God. So I am really big on that. So I didn't want to get all Pentecostal with her. I didn't even want to tell her she had a demon because people, they can't even handle that, right? So I just looked at her, and she wasn't even closing her eyes anyway. And I just said, I'm going to talk. Look, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to that devil. No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to that sickness. Fine. So I already had the revelation. So I said, in the name of Jesus, sickness, you've been found out. In the name of Jesus, loose her, let her go. And as we started to pray like that, the power of God hit this lady. And she fell back under the power of God, rolled over on her side, and all of the infirmity started coming out of her body. And then she started laughing, and then she was crying, and then she was laughing, and then she was crying, having this amazing encounter with God's presence. And by the time she got off the floor, she was totally healed. I mean, all of that affliction was gone. The pain was gone. Everything was gone. And not only that, she looked at me and she said, not only is all the pain gone, she said, but I feel God's presence again. I have felt dead for 5 years. I haven't felt God for 5 years. And I know he loves me now, and I feel his presence with me now. She's weeping as she has a revelation of God's love and presence in her life. And not only was she set free, but that freedom brought healing and a complete transformation in her life. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you what else happened to me in that moment. And I know it was not me, it was God. As I'm praying in the spirit and I'm going up this wall, I feel in my belly something happen inside of me. I start to feel a love, a tangible love, rise up on the inside of me for this lady. And I know it was not my love. Okay, when someone's yelling at you, you don't just automatically just feel love for them. You know, you want to lay hands on them. You're like, look, I'm going to lay hands on you. But this love started rising up in me, the love of God for her. Despite her anger, despite all the layers and stuff that was on top of her, I could feel the love of God right where she was for her, even in the pit that she was in. I could feel the overwhelming, extravagant, unconditional love for her. As this love rose up on the inside of me, this anointing came with that love, and this woman was set free and healed. And I think to myself about these scriptures and this scripture that we started to read, 1 Corinthians 12:31, I will show you an even more excellent way, the way of love. And 1 Corinthians 13:13, and so faith, hope, and love abide, But the greatest of these is love. Faith. Faith that moves mountains. Faith that connects you in your relationship to God. Hope. The hope of eternal salvation. The hope that when we die, it doesn't all end. There's eternity for us. I mean, those things are very powerful. Faith and hope are very powerful. But it says even greater than those is love. Even greater than those is love. And I remember when I was with Oral Roberts. How many remember Oral Roberts? I remember it was 4 months before he went home to be with the Lord. And we were in his... Oh, praise the Lord. My phone's talking to me. Jesus said, good job, Matt. Good preaching. Okay. So I asked him. I said, this was 4 months before he went on. And there was a handful of us in the room with him. And I asked him, I said, Dr. Oral, can you share one of the secrets to your healing ministry? And he said, well, he said, yes. He said, you know, a lot of people would say that we had so many miracles because of my faith. He says, I had faith. I read in the Bible that all men are given a measure of faith, and I believed I had faith. And we started these healing campaigns, and we saw some miracles. Some miracles happened. He said, but as we kept going, and I'd go into my hotel room before the miracle crusade, I started to pray in a certain direction. He said, I started to ask God for love. That when I would minister to the people, I would love them the way God loves them. I mean, imagine that. Imagine loving the people you're ministering to. What an amazing idea. He said, I started to pray for love. He said, as I started to pray in that direction, the miracle started to explode in the crusade meetings. And his miracle ministry went to a whole other level as he was actively pursuing and praying for God's love. Now, as he was sharing that truth, my brain instantly went to Galatians and to the scripture. Galatians 5, verse 6. And it says this. Now, a lot of translations say, translates it like this, faith working through love. The faith works through love. But when you read it in the Amplified, it expounds it a little bit more, and it says this, faith activated, energized, expressed, and working through love. Faith is activated, is set into motion, is empowered through love. Well, who knew that the true source of power within faith was actually love? That love would be the thing that empowers our faith and activates our faith and sets our faith into motion. This is what I experienced when I stood in front of this lady that had no faith at all for healing. But yet when the love of God came up in my heart for her. And I believe it's the same type of thing Jesus experienced when the Bible says he was moved with compassion and healed the sick. I believe it's that same moving of God, that same moving of the heart of God on the inside that activates supernatural faith that produces miracles and produces an encounter with God that changes and transforms someone's life. The supernatural power of love. Now, I was in another meeting, and this was back in the day. My dad was traveling with me, and this service, my mom was with me. And I remember I was in the back of the room praying for someone. My mom was sitting on the front row. During the beginning of the service, they carried a woman into the meeting that was dying of bone cancer. She looked like a skeleton, couldn't even stand on her own, and they sat her in the front row, right next to my mom, over on the side. And I remember my mom that night, she scooted over next to this lady and just wrapped her arms around her and held her. And as she just wrapped her arms around her, she began to whisper into her ear. Now, at the time, I didn't know what she was saying. I thought maybe she was praying for her. But as my mom was whispering into her ear, she was speaking scripture into her ear. By his stripes, you are healed. And she just kept speaking scripture after scripture after scripture into the woman's ear and wrapping her arms around her. As she was doing that, this divine love from the heart of God was pouring from my mom's spirit into this woman. And before I knew it, I heard a commotion at the front of the church. And I turned around to look what was happening. And this lady jumped up out of her seat and started jumping and dancing all around the front altar, throwing her arms and legs in the air, yelling out, "I'm healed! I'm healed! Totally healed!" And then she runs down the center aisle of the church, passes right by me, and she's yelling, "My son is in the parking lot. He dropped me off tonight, and he's waiting outside. I have to tell him that Jesus healed me tonight." And she was carried in, but she ran out. She ran out, totally healed by God. And I think back to that night, and I realize that through the power of the Word of God, but also this tangible love, faith came alive, releasing a miracle. When the Bible says the greatest of these is love, God knows exactly what he's talking about. A divine love that lifts people out of their deepest pit. A divine love that activates a faith that is beyond your faith. A divine love that releases an anointing that causes everything that is binding someone up to loose them and let them go, so that they can become the person God has destined them to be. The kind of love, look, the Bible, it's the only thing the Bible says that will never fail. Love will never fail. It'll never fail. It's the secret to miracles. It's the secret to the anointing that Jesus operated in. That people would just touch his clothing and be healed. Because there was so much unconditional, perfect love in his heart. The channel of God's presence in him and through him was so pure and clean that there was nothing obstructing the virtue. Nothing obstructing the virtue of God. How many want to have an unobstructed flow of God's power? Unobstructed flow. Where someone just comes near you and touches you and literally just can draw that anointing right out of you. Oh, praise God. I believe God is bringing the church in this hour into a revelation. A revelation. I want to share a story with you that changed me at the end of last year. I was in Dallas, Texas with Cindy Jacobs, and I'm part of her prophetic roundtable. So there's a two-tiered, multi-generational thing that Cindy has built with this prophetic group. And on Monday, we got together. Then on Tuesday and Wednesday, we had an international prophetic roundtable with around 200, 250 prophets from 50 nations around the world. And all we did from 8 in the morning till 8 at night was get in a room together and prophesy and worship and hear God. It was amazing. And then it concluded with a conference, a gathering, a prophetic gathering. There were many amazing moments during that week. It was 6 days long. And there were many amazing moments of prophecy and worship and God speaking. But I'm going to tell you what impacted me the most. It was at lunchtime. Praise God that Jesus hangs out with us at lunch. Yeah. We were at lunch, and my friend Rick Ridings was there. He oversees the Jerusalem House of Prayer in Israel, and then a few other leaders were there. And it was maybe 4 or 5 of us at the table. So Rick, you know, we're friends. We've known each other for a few years. I've lost track of the years, but we've known each other for a while. We go to his house of prayer when we're in Israel, and he looks at me and he says, "Matt, can I share with you what has happened in my life this past year?" So as he shared, tears started coming down all of our eyes, and we could feel the presence of God at the table as God was talking to us. And I asked him permission to share with you what he shared with me. And he gave me permission. So I'm going to share something very personal from his family and life. So he says to me, "Matt," he had a 27-year-old daughter who was musically gifted, beautiful voice, sang, won awards all over Israel for her singing and her skill. And she was a mom of a little boy, married. And he says, you know, he starts to share the story with me, how she came down with cancer. And they were in the hospital with her. And she went into a coma and passed. And as they're all around her in the hospital, and this young girl passes, they all start to call her back to life again. And they start to call her spirit back into her body. And as they're praying, this young woman's spirit comes back into her body, and she opens up her eyes and sees her family standing around her. And the first thing she said to her father is, "Dad, I was in heaven. I saw Jesus, and he spoke to me." And she proceeds to tell him what Jesus said to her in heaven. And I'm going to share with you tonight a heavenly conversation. And as this young lady stepped into eternity and saw Jesus face to face, the first thing she said was, "Dad, Jesus didn't say anything to me about my awards. He didn't say anything to me about my accomplishments. But the first thing he said to me was, thank you for loving me the way you love me. Thank you that even when it was difficult, thank you for worshiping me and loving me the way you do. It has brought joy to my heart. Even when you were in pain, even when it was difficult, you still loved me and you worshiped me. Thank you. You have brought joy to my heart." And that's the first thing that Jesus says to her. And I instantly thought of the scripture that says, in his presence is fullness of joy. And I've looked at that scripture and I've thought, yes, when we enter God's presence, we experience fullness of joy. And there's truth in that. We do. There's so much joy and bliss in the presence of God. But I realized the other side of it, that when we enter God's presence and we love him and we worship him in spirit and truth, not only do we receive joy, but we minister joy to his heart. We get to minister to God because God sees everything. He looks over the world. He sees everything. The good, the bad, the ugly, the painful, and his heart grieves over those things. But when he looks and he sees a redeemed son and daughter worshiping him and loving him, it ministers joy to his heart. There's something special about a redeemed son and daughter worshiping God and loving God. Even angels stand in awe of it. I remember one time I was in my prayer closet in my room, and there were two angels in that room. And I don't talk about this often, and I don't share what I heard, but I heard them talking. My ears were open in the spirit realm. And I heard these two angels talking, and I will say this, they stand in awe when they see a redeemed son and daughter of God worshiping him and loving him, because we've experienced something they haven't. We've experienced redemption, and they stand in awe of that redemption and that worship that flows from redemption. We get to minister to God's heart. Then the next thing he said to her was, "And thank you for loving," and he names people to her. "Thank you for loving so-and-so so well. Thank you for forgiving them the way you forgave them. Thank you for loving them so well that you would forgive them." And he starts to name to her the people that she loved and the people that she forgave. And then he says to her, "And thank you for being a mom and for loving your son and pouring yourself into your son." And then as Jesus is talking to her about her son, she gets pulled back into her body. And she shares this conversation with her family. "Thank you for loving so-and-so. Thank you for forgiving them. Thank you for loving your son." You know, I think the things that we think are so important are not as important as we think they are. And I think the things that impress the world the most are least impressive to God. And I think some of us are going to be shocked when we get to heaven and we see this little lady having the biggest rewards in heaven. And we're going to be like, "Who is she and why'd she get all those rewards? Who is she? I never saw her on TV. She was never a conference speaker. Who is that?" And Jesus is going to be like, "Oh, that's the little old lady that was in the corner of the church or in the prayer room day after day, week after week, praying and pouring out her heart in prayer for other people, pouring out love for other people." And the Lord gave me revelation Because sometimes we fall into false comparison. And sometimes we fall into an earthly perspective. And we judge things from an earthly perspective. Even in the ministry world, we do it. We look at platforms, we look at ministries, and we say, surely this ministry is better than this one, or surely this one is more impactful, surely this one will have a higher reward. And I've stood on the platform with Reinhard Bonnke in Africa before hundreds of thousands of people. And I've seen this man with an amazing ministry minister to millions. And then I've been in a mud hut with Heidi Baker on my knees with her, giving a piece of bread to a little African lady. And from an earthly perspective, we may be tempted to say, surely the platform to millions is more impactful than the platform to the one where we give a piece of bread to someone in a mud hut where no one sees and no one knows. But the Lord showed me, whatever is motivated by love is equal in His eyes. And whatever we do motivated by the love of God has an eternal reward attached to it and is equal in heaven's eyes. God wants to realign us with heaven. He wants to realign us with eternity. And I'm going to tell you what it does. It will set you free from false comparison. Because sometimes you can say, how many do it? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. You open up Instagram and you start scrolling. And scrolling, seeing everyone else's life, everyone else's ministry, everyone else's church. And you're looking, you're like, oh, God, surely this is success. Surely this is success in the kingdom. And we could look at things from an earthly perspective and even get discouraged. But I want to tell you something tonight. You might never stand on a platform to millions, but that does not mean you are any less significant in the kingdom and in eternity. Because when you even give a piece of bread to someone who's hungry and it's done motivated by love, there is an eternal kingdom reward attached to that act of love and service. And in the eyes of God, one is not less than the other. And I think sometimes God wants to realign our perspective of what we think is success. God, when I get this platform, or when I'm in this audience, or when I'm on this television network, or whatever it is, we think then we've arrived in ministry, or we've arrived in the work of God. But God is stripping all that away. And He wants us to understand, and it's been in the Bible the whole time. Mark 12, 30 and 31, it's been there the whole time. The entire Bible can be summed up in these two verses. Mark 12, 30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and greatest or principal commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. And right there in that one moment of time, Jesus communicated the heart of God to us here in the earth of what is most important to God's heart. Love God with all your heart and love people. Which means love them to the point where you forgive their offenses and you let stuff go. Where you love people the way God loves people, and you love God with all your heart, strength, and mind, and then everything you do as service is motivated from that place of love. And the Bible talks about works of wood, hay, and straw, and gold and silver. The gold and silver survived the fire. The wood, hay, and straw burnt up in the fire. And I think the main difference between those works, one was motivated by love and one wasn't. Everything we do that's motivated by love survives the fire and will last for eternity. Oh, come on. I've learned something else. Have you ever prayed for someone in your life to change? Have you ever prayed for a situation to change and they don't change or it doesn't change? You know, it's easy to forgive someone when they change. It's easy to forgive someone when they say they're sorry and really mean it and change. You're like, okay, I can forgive that. It's another thing to forgive someone when they don't change. And you may find someone in your life that you've been praying a long time for them to change, and they have not changed. Anyone else experience that? I've discovered something. Every moment of pain or discomfort or frustration that I experience because of someone else's behavior in my life is an opportunity for me to experience the divine love of God. And the very things that I'm praying away are the very things God is using to perfect his love in me. And could it be, if these two commandments are the most important things to God for eternity, the most important thing, could it be that every single thing in our earthly journey serves this purpose, to teach us how to love? Could it be that this is what God is looking for in everything we do? In every act of service, every work of ministry, anything we do for people, anything we do, even in our day-to-day life, even in how we interact with people around us, even difficult people, even people that try us, even people that frustrate us or even get us angry or hurt us. Not that God sends those things into our life, but God will orchestrate even the negative things to serve this divine purpose, to teach us how to love. And the very person you're praying will change, God is anointing their stupidity to teach you and to form in you the perfect love of God. And I have learned this. God will even, now I say this word anoint, but God will even anoint someone's bad behavior to cause you to grow in love. Oh, praise the Lord. And I've experienced this, and I believe God is going to so infuse this reality into us, it is going to realign everything we do. It's going to realign every motive. It's going to realign even our activity. That everything we pour our lives into will be aligned with heaven's heart and God's heart, whether people see it or they don't. Whether it's something that is seen before everyone or something that is done totally in secret that only you and those people that you're pouring into know about. Or that one person knows about. And I remember this. There was something that happened in my life, and something happened that I just got really hurt by. And I remember, I was like, you know, I know the teaching of forgiveness. You know, you got to choose to forgive. And every day, this person would come into my brain, and I'd be like, I choose to forgive. And then the next day, I choose to forgive. And then the next day, I choose to forgive. The problem is I kept choosing to forgive, but I really wasn't feeling forgiveness. I was feeling irritation. I choose to forgive. God, they're so stupid. I choose to forgive. God, I pray they reap what they sow. I choose to forgive. God, I pray a big harvest in their life. God, I choose to forgive. And, you know, it was this constant choosing to forgive, but not really feeling like I was forgiving. And I remember one day I was traveling on the road, and I'm in the hotel preparing for a meeting. And out of nowhere, as I'm just waiting on God, I feel his love fill my heart. As this love fills my heart, all of the offense melts away, and I truly forgive this individual to the point where what they did no longer robs my joy or peace or God's presence within me or even my attitude. But I could think about this person, know what they did, but at the same time feel God's heart for them and have no negativity on the inside of myself. Praise God. That's what God's love will do. That's what God's love will do. And it's like God didn't change that situation. God did not change that person. That person is still walking in their process with God. God is still working with them, moving in them and bringing them through their process, but they did not change in that circumstance or in that thing. But in the process of it, God did something in me. In the process of that, God gave me an opportunity to grow in his divine love for another human being. Praise God. It all comes down to this. Love God with all your heart. The gospel is simple. Love God with all your heart and love people. If you can get those two things, you will have gotten what is most important to God for eternity. You will have gotten what is most important. And I believe that as we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place, that God will cause your heart to be really free of offense, really free of pain and hurt and whatever, irritation, frustration with another person. God could give you divine love that'll release a new level of faith in your heart, release a new level of miracles through you, a new level of the flow of virtue through you to people around you. How many want to be that? A source of virtue, a source of God's virtue for people around you. That when they talk to you, Jesus comes through you. That when you pray, the presence of God flows and heavenly virtue touches that other person. I'm going to invite one of the worship guys, maybe a keyboardist or someone, to just join me on the platform. How many are ready for this? How many are ready for this? How many are ready to really step into everything in your spirit, soul, body, mind, strength, everything aligned with eternity, aligned with heaven, aligned with God's heart, and with what is most important to him? And I believe it's the secret. It's the secret to faith. It's the secret to miracles. It's the secret for breakthrough. It's the secret for freedom. Man, how great is it to be free from offense, or free from negativity, or free from just stuff that would rob the joy of God from your heart? Just free. Free from false comparison. Free from discouragement. Comparing yourself to someone else. You don't have to do that. You never have to compare yourself to anyone else. If you're doing it, just stop it. Freedom. Just stop it. You never have to compare yourself to another person. Rejoice in whatever God's doing with them. And as you rejoice in God's blessing on their life, you prepare the way for God's blessing in your own life. You never, ever, ever have to get discouraged. You just have to love. Love, 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 love. And obey God and follow him. And you will walk in everything he's destined for you to walk in.